Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drama.
All right, all right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. And I'm, of course, joined by my co-host, my big brother, Mr. J.
Well, tonight, y'all, the thrill is gone. So, you know, I'm not going to be my happy, excited self tonight.
All right.
I'm a little blue, just yeah. A little sad, you know. But what's up, everybody? How's everybody doing?
Yeah, unfortunately, the great B.B. King has passed on, and we're going to celebrate that tonight. In the meantime, we've got Ty Leeks going to be in the house tonight, author supreme, and we're going to talk to her in the second segment, so y'all be looking out for that. And if you want to holler at us, you know the number, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435.
And if you want to hit us on the internet, it's smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. That's smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
Well, I thought you were soliciting there.
Oh, no, I get that. Don't worry. I got that.
And of course, Mr. J is soliciting. I'm not going to say, I'm going to let you say it. I'm not going to say.
Ladies, I just want to put this out here just for a moment while he's looking for whatever he's looking for over there.
Misogynistic.
Just don't forget that, you know, we still have time for you guys to send those pictures in. What type of pictures are you asking about? Thong shots.
Misogynistic.
You know what? This is all going to a good cause, so just, like, back off, buddy. All
right.
Ladies, send those pictures in. You know where to send them to. You can email them to smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Your best shot. That's all I'm going to say. Send us your best picture, your best shot, and it will be included in the upcoming calendar that we are trying to put out.
All right.
Laugh if you wanna.
Oh yeah, I know. We just don't go into the things that crazy people do because we ain't gonna be going back and forth on that. First thing that crazy people do: getting drunk, chasing bears. Northwest Massachusetts police had to actually put out a message saying, going through the woods and getting drunk and chasing bears is strongly not advised.
They had to put an advisory out not to do that.
Yes. Cause
wait a minute. Okay. What state are we in?
Massachusetts. Apparently in Massachusetts, they go into the woods drunk and chase after bears.
They probably doing other things, but we won't go there. But, you know, I mean, well, you know what?
It doesn't.
See,
well,
if you feel the urge to get drunk anywhere within a 5-mile, 10-mile radius of a wooded area, knowing that there are bears there, you deserve whatever happens at that point.
That's your answer?
Plain and simple. You know, that's just your stupidity. If you know you live in an area where there are wild animals and the possibility of those wild animals just showing up at your car door, or if you're out walking, that, you know, you're in their backyard.
Yeah.
And you're drunk too?
Yeah, they have to tell the people, leave the bears alone. I'm like, you should see. But that's why they're crazy, because they don't know to leave the bears alone.
Well, you know, see, you being sanitized, I mean, you being real safe with it. Let's just say that's what crazy white folks do. Because you ain't going to hear about no black folks doing that. Let's just be real.
I hope not.
Not being racist, but I'm just being honest.
Dang. I'm not mad at you. It's crazy no matter who do it for me.
I mean, can you imagine, hey man, you got any more, and we got any more being in Trump? Okay, guess what? I'm gonna go walk all the way to the store to get us some more beer. Now don't you go nowhere. I'm gonna take a shortcut.
No, ain't that where okay. the bears hang out? Let's go hang out with the bear. It works,
you know,
works
and then, so then the next day, you hear in the news, two bodies found.
All chewed up.
Not even all chewed, just mauled.
Yeah.
You know?
The other thing you might not want to do, jumping into the river with your wedding dress on.
Well, first of all, I don't roll that way. I don't wear a wedding dress. And why would I want to jump into a river?
Well, according to, there's a trend with brides. They do stuff like having the dress burnt while you were in it. And this one bride decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to jump in the river in the wedding dress. And then it was pulling her under.
I wonder why.
Yeah, because it got a little too heavy for her, and she like almost drowned. Yeah, she sunk. She was struggling. They had to all jump in. It's like, you know, what happens to you get married, you take pictures, you go home, and you have sex all night.
You ain't got to go home to do that. I mean, pull over on the side of the road or whatever.
Well, I'm just saying that's what the normal bride and grooms do, but this. Setting my wedding dress on fire while I'm in it and jumping in the river and all that. I'm gonna leave that to the crazy folk. y'all handle that. I hope it works out for you.
All right, you know, what else you got? Because I got something, but I want to wait until you got all yours, you know.
All right. Well,
mine isn't so much a crazy. It's just something that I was reading, and I just have to bring it up.
All right, well, I got the woman who put dead foot skin in her roommate's milk.
I heard about that, and you know that wasn't in Florida, but go ahead.
You automatically just saying that I was just going
to
say.
I had to beat you to the punch.
All right, well, thank you. But yeah, she
put. So you talking about the woman that put. Dead, like, foot shavings from her foot, you know.
Shaved her feet and put it in her homegirl's milk, which I don't see how she couldn't see stuff floating in her milk. If I see something floating in my milk, I'm not drinking it, but that's just me. Said she swallowed it, began to choke on it, and discovered what appeared to be human skin. See? Crazy folk think of stuff like that.
I mean, okay.
Yeah.
For her to do something like that, there had to be a reason. I mean, unless she was just laying in bed one night and decided, you know what, tomorrow I think I'm going to shave my feet and put all the shavings inside my roommate's, and, you know, pour it in my roommate's mouth.
I'm going to say her name because she's crazy. Sarah Schrock out of Maryland. If you hanging out with Sarah Schrock,
don't drink anything. Right. Don't drink anything in her house. Right. If she offers you water, don't drink it. Milk, don't drink it. Soup. Matter of fact, don't even go to her house when you're thirsty.
Right.
And don't leave the room if your drink is out, because she's gonna put dead foot shavings in it.
No, that kind of made me.
Yeah, because had that been at little Ray Ray in Shaquan's house, you know, somebody would have got hurt.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even be talking in these terms. We'd be talking about a shooting right now. Or a beat down. You know?
I agree.
But let me just throw this in there. Okay. You know this has gotta be true because I saw it on the web.
Oh, it's gotta be true because you saw
I saw it on Facebook, so it's real.
Mm.
Okay. In one of these groups that I happen to be perusing through,
yeah,
this young lady writes in, and she's basically asking for help. She's 27 years old, okay, single mother. She's got 5 kids. They range in age from 7 months up to 7 years old. Okay, you know, I'm not judging, okay? why did she go on? She proceeded to explain her situation. She was at one point, she's asking the readers of this letter that she posted in one of these groups not to judge her, first of all, because out of her, you know, the men she fought that fathered these babies, she was in a long-term relationship with one. I guess that's the one that she was engaged to. And the others, I don't know how many others there were, she just dated. But now she's met a new guy. And the new guy only knows about one child. And he's very serious about her. He really likes her. She's never brought him home to her place. Matter of fact, whenever they meet up, they always meet like out someplace, and they always end up back at his place. So basically what I'm, you know, the gist of the story is she wants to know how or when or if she should tell the guy, well, you know, when she should tell the guy about the other four kids. Okay, so normally I know you would ask me what I think, but before we even go into the opinions, let that marinate for about 15 seconds. Okay, Tom, that's too long. Now, for real, come on now. And you know, and I'm sorry, this is one of us. This is one of the times, and this is our people.
What you want me to say, man?
Come on now. For you listeners, and y'all can call in, y'all can email us, whatever.
If you only going to my house, obviously there's something up at yours.
Right. And let me add this in. It's only been 4 months and he already talking about getting engaged.
Okay. Good for him.
So do you want to talk about this from the standpoint of what's wrong with this dude, or do you just want to talk about how wrong she is?
Well, obviously they're both wrong. You know, one, because he can't...
He's just open. He's open. She must be doing something to him that just got him wide open.
Yeah, okay. I guess if that's what floats your boat, you can get open like that, then...
I'm a man. What? I mean, you only met this female for, you only been with this female for 4 months. Now you are the man. I can understand if you're really in love, right? I'm not even going to knock that. But from her point of view, how do you not tell this dude about the, what, how do you even bring yourself to a point where you hide the fact that you have four other kids? Now, all of a sudden, 4 months later, you can tell he's getting serious. So now you feel as though you need to tell him. Why didn't you tell him this in the beginning?
Because,
I mean,
obviously he wasn't, she just don't want to put it out there. It's kind of scandalous. I mean, you can't hide your four kids forever. You're just going to bust that out one day. Hey, this is Raekwon. This is Chef.
You know? 347-826-7435. 347-826-7435. Call in with your opinion.
You busting out with a whole gang of kids. All of a sudden, it's like, how are you supposed to, like, oh, he going to be in love with you and he going to forgive?
Not- I'm sorry, but, you know, I mean, it's not, I mean, you know what? Unless I'm an older dude and, you know, I done raised kids and don't have a problem or whatever, you know, and I got, you know, I'm set like that. I'm not even on trip, but, you know, because she doesn't say how old this dude is, so I can only assume he's probably her age or maybe a little bit older.
Right, but I mean, you know, also if they're in, I mean, you, some people introduce to the kids that they're comfortable with it, and some people aren't, obviously, and I mean, you shouldn't meet folks' kids unless you kind of have some serious intent anyhow.
But she'd only told him about one child. So, okay, it's Friday afternoon or Saturday, and they have a date set up, and he's already known about the one child. Then all of a sudden, I don't even know if she introduced him to the one child, but then all of a sudden, she shows up one day, and it's not one, but two, three, four, five kids?
Yeah.
hey, baby, and he's looking at you like, hey, who, what, you know, oh, I wanted to tell you about that. This is little Rashad.
Mm.
This is Nate, you know, like, come on. Come on.
Hey.
Me, I'm like, because you waited 4 months and you got me in this one place, you know, like, well, I'm in my feelings anyway, but you know, you wait 4 months to tell me something you could have told me back, you know, in month number one. I'm sorry, I'm gone. I'm like, all right, see ya.
Got your feelings in it.
I'm gone because for the simple fact that if you can deceive or lie to me about this, this is your own child, your own, your kids, and you can't even be honest about your own kids, what else would you lie to me about or hide the truth from me about? So I'm gone.
Gone, that's it. You tap
it. Call me wrong, but hey, I'm going to catch the next bus, so I'm getting in my car and I'm going. Either way.
Even on the next train.
He'll be back again. Anyway, what else you got? What else you got? I just had to put that out there. I mean, for those of you that are listening.
I'm glad to put that out there.
Yeah, for those of you that are listening, you know, chime in if you want. You know, it gets better. It gets better.
Well, I mean, like, another thing, Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, all mad because they got caught cheating. He's like, he don't feel like they should be penalized for cheating. It's like, y'all keep getting caught cheating.
Exactly, and now the NFL finally takes a stand on it. Now, all of a sudden, you feel like y'all being singled out. You're not being singled out, you know. They just finally lowered the hammer, that's all. Nobody said anything. I mean, you didn't hear the Saints complain a couple of years ago when they had that. What was that? You know.
I mean, but you know, that's funny how they put, football is a game of trying to hurt the other guy.
Right.
Always has been. But don't get me.
Yeah, but when you put money on, like, I forget what they called that scandal, but you know, when you're putting bounty gate. Yeah, when you're putting bounties on a player, you know, money on a player. I mean, that's my point. Yeah, you only saying because it's your Saints and you know you're from that area. But my point is this: how can you? And I'm talking about as a whole. It's okay to penalize one team for something that, you know, morally was wrong. But you won't, you know, you get upset because another team gets caught cheating finally, and then they get penalized, and now, you know, you want to bitch and moan about it. But you didn't bitch and moan when, you know, a fellow team owner had to pay out money and his team got penalized. You understand what I'm saying? It's like it was okay when you penalized the Saints, but you penalized the Patriots. Oh no, why are you doing this to us? We did nothing wrong. And it's only because it's Brady, and it's you know, Bob Kraft, you know. Come on now, you know. But anyway, for all you Patriot fans out there, so what? I know, folks. It gets better. It gets better.
You made me all sad.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I'm here for. I'm the alter ego.
That's what you're here for, to make me.
I'm here to do exactly what you just did about 10 seconds ago. Laugh.
Oh, okay.
I'm here to make you laugh and make the people think. That's all.
All right. Well, I think about this. We talk about this all the time, and I always wonder who they like this type of where we find it, whatever. I mean, and it's not easy. Well, it's not hard to find crazy folks and things that they do. I mean, because people do stupid stuff all the time, like leaving macaroni trail when you rob a place, a macaroni salad trail.
Okay, you lost me on this one.
Yeah, they left a macaroni salad trail. They robbed the store. They took some macaroni salad and was like dropping it on the way, like eating it and dropping it.
Oh well, that's their stupidity. Okay.
There, to them.
Okay, well, you know, again, you know, this segment is things that stupid people do.
Or crazy people.
You know, or crazy. Well, no, see, crazy, like I say, crazy is more of a mental thing. That's a mental issue. That right there, what you described, was just plain stupidity.
Okay, well, I concede that.
You know, that's
plain stupidity. I'm conceding.
Uh-oh, let's write this down. What time, date stamp this, time stamp it.
Yeah, and hold on. Somebody in the chat room, seriously, S just put Falcons all day.
I don't have access to that, so okay.
Yeah, I'm like, hold on. Falcons all day, really? I don't even want to do the show no more.
Oh, well, you know, don't call them out by name, but just ask them when's the last time the Falcons won a Super Bowl. Uh-huh, Giant Nation on this side, what you got for me? What you got for me? Talk to me.
Well, they want to play it? I don't think Atlanta can talk about anything.
They can't even talk about a daggone basketball championship. I know, and I know you're going on me on this too, but yeah, my next team won since the 70s, but we do have a ring, you know? It's been years, but we got one. Only thing Atlanta can do right now is just talk about baseball.
Right. I'm like, when you watch the Atlanta Hawks game, last time I saw, it's like more fans for the other team than for the actual Falcons. I mean, ain't these the same dudes that got...
You talking about the Hawks or the Falcons?
Oh, well, both. But the Falcons, in particular, got fined because they was pumping in crowd noise because their crowd was so...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were so pathetic that they had to make up noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Atlanta Falcons.
So tell that fan, whoever they are, you know,
seriously,
have a seat somewhere.
Yeah.
Have a seat.
So, power to the people and all that. We gonna go on break on that. We gonna ride out on the Falcons sucking. You know, on that note, of course, as we started off the show saying the late great B.B. King, he's gone, but he left a treasure trove of beautiful music. And this goes out to everybody out there, including that Atlanta Falcon fan. How blue can you get?
rumble. Smooth Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. I'm joined by my main man, Mr. J.
What's up, people?
Was the late, great B.B. King. How blue can you get? Shout out to all my homies in Atlanta. Right now, I believe we're going to go and we're going to get our esteemed guest who's on the air now. Hey, welcome to Smooth Drama, Miss Leaks. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Are we doing all right?
How are you?
Very good.
All right.
Nice to be on the show. Thank you guys for inviting me.
Oh, thank you for coming.
You're quite welcome.
You know, I'm always down to support, you know, those independent folks that's out there putting out stories. So tell us about yours, the Sin Eaters. What motivated you to want to do that?
Well, basically, Sin Eaters is a urban fantasy novel set in the Midwest, St. Louis, and Chicago. It's paranormal, so you got vampires and ghosts, witches, hunters, angels, all kinds of things up in there in an urban setting. I wanted to write something like that because I was influenced long ago as a wee little child, influenced
so
by
Black Vampire.
Yes, sir. Black Vampire. Yes, sir. I'm a child of the 80s.
Yeah, you saw Wesley
Snipes.
So
I grew up on... Right. that's my influence. All of that. Blade, Interview with a Vampire, L.A. Banks, Anne Rice, all of that. And, you know, I'm a book nerd. So I was reading all these fantasy books and stuff, and I'm like, I don't see myself, you know. I'm tired of reading books that I don't see myself, that I can't put myself in it. So then I always had the imaginative mind, and I just decided, you know, let me go ahead and start writing my own stuff, and Senators came about. Actually, it came about in a dream, but yeah, it was all influenced back to what I was reading and as I was growing up.
All right, so I mean, you, a black person in Iowa, they got black folks in Iowa, really?
Yes, they are. Yes, they actually are.
Yes, yes, yes.
They leave Chicago and head west. What's that on? They leave Chicago and where they head west on, what, Route 80 up there or something? 80 or 85 or whatever? Okay, yeah.
I left when I was 5, so I don't recall all of that anymore.
Oh, so
my mother came from Illinois. My mother came from Illinois and went to college, and then,
Were you in Iowa? Were you in Des Moines?
I was in Iowa City.
Oh, okay, that's even worse, but okay. I've only been remotely close to there once, so
yeah, we're not even going to ask.
For 5 years.
All right, so now you got a Sin Eaters devotion book series. Now you started off with devotion book one. How do you start the story? Set the stage for us, for the listeners out there.
Well, my favorite chapter is the first one, so that introduces the attacker. And the attacker is someone that is hunting the streets. At that time, he's in St. Louis, I believe I said. And he's hunting, just doing his thing in the alley, and opens up, and you go straight into a big battle scene with him and this other person that you later find out is a demon. And he starts leaping off of walls and scaling walls and bringing out a sword and going at this guy. And all of a sudden, this guy opens up and turns into a demon, and things get heavy from there. So if you see the opening scene of the Blade, it's kind of like that.
Let me ask you a question regarding not so much just the genre, but... When you decided to step out there and just, you know, doing your own, you're writing your own stories, how is it for you being like a black writer, you know, black author, and then writing, you know, doing the type of genre that you do, it's not like you got Penguin or Random House or Simon & Schuster, any of these big publishing companies coming at you. So how did you just do self publishing, or did you find like a little boutique publisher who you could, you know, who you cut a deal with, or how did you go about that?
I was blessed enough to share my work with a friend who knew a literary agent who was tied into Urban Books.
Okay.
So she sent, the literary agent sent my work over to Urban Books, and then they read it.
It's always when it's a black writer, it's considered urban.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
You know, white people don't live in the city, apparently.
Well,
it would be suburban books.
So, well, that's a whole nother. I mean, we're gonna leave that alone.
Yeah, I don't usually call myself an urban writer or anything like that. I just write fantasy.
Right.
Like I call myself a pair of romance novelist and a pair of
normal
writer and a
up?
Fantasy writer.
So where did you come up with the theme as far as, you know, tying in paranormal with love? You know, where did you come up with that? Because I don't think I've ever even
Hold on. First,
what?
What? Supernatural beings can't get none?
You know what? Can I have my time with my question?
I'm saying. School him, Kai. Tell him yes. Vampires need love too. Demon wants
so
his little
bit. Back to the
basics.
If you go back to the basics, not even touching any comics or anything, but if you go back to the basics, Book 101, Bram Stoker, Dracula, he was getting it in.
Hey, thank you. His name,
I mean, okay,
his
okay.
name is Stroker. That's all you need to know. You know?
Okay, I knew that, but I was asking for our listeners out there. Mr. Smooth, okay, thank you very much. As you were saying, ma'am, go ahead.
Even beyond that, if you look at the root of mythology and different folk tales and all of that, the basis, you go into, like, even possession.
Getting it in.
Like, you get situations where people are, you know, so-called
getting
possessed.
Getting it in. And, right. Zeus got, like, 500 kids.
Anyway. So, I mean... And then you jump into the present, and you look at, you know, Twilight, and you look at the werewolf stories and all of that. There's that element and the allure of sexuality there. It plays on, too. You know, for me, my book is about sins. So, you know, what kind of sins? All the deadly sins, seven deadly sins, and then some. You have sex in the mix. So you can't have murder mayhem without a little bit of sex in there, even love.
Okay. Okay, thank you. See, now that was what I was looking for. Okay, so how long have you been professionally doing this?
These books have only been out for 2 years now. Or 2012 was when Sin Eaters came out. So yeah, I haven't been a writer that long. I still call myself an emerging author.
All right, well, I mean, you just keep emerging. So you've got two, devotion book two, and then you're supposedly stepping into your contemporary romance genre with the pleasure principle.
Have three books now. I have a three in the Sin Eater series now. I just released a short. Well, I call it a short, but it's really not because it's 130-something pages long. But it ties into the Sin Eater series as well. And that's called Rebel Guardians. As my growing fan base really loves the characters that I have. Like, my book is full of people, full of characters, I keep being told, but it is. That's just how I write. And everybody has latched on to specific ones in the Sin Eater world. So I decided to... after I finished book two of Sin Eaters, I decided, well, I need to focus on letting that series just be about my leads. And since the readers want to learn more about the other guardians, why not give them their own little short series? And that's what I decided to do.
Now, you mentioned that, you know, I'm sorry. You had mentioned that your followers, you know, they all have their favorites and, you know, them pretty much they can identify with characters and, you know. My question to you is, outside of what you know of your fan base, have you started to get people from, you know, other people to start reading your books or, you know, are you picking up new fans from different demographics yet or is it still in the early stages?
It's very, very much in the early stages. I do have, the majority of my fan base right now, I've realized now that in the beginning it used to be a lot of women. Now it's become more men, and
right.
I don't have a man about it.
No, you just giggled like what men can't read.
Let me explain to you. Because when I first started, when I only had seniors, every time I mentioned, you know, that I'm a pair of a romance novel, the men gave me a look, and then I was like, trust me. Read Sin Eaters, read the book, and it's not even going to be like you think it's going to be. You think it's going to be just strictly romance. Yes, I am a strictly romance person when I write other stories, but this is not like that. And as soon as I said that and they trusted my work, the guys started pulling into the woodwork. They're like, oh, my gosh, this is like Blade. This is like Underworld. Oh, my gosh. When are you going to make this into a graphic comic? When is this going to be a movie? You know, it just...
But that's what I'm saying because we men like some of that stuff too. I mean, like we don't have no imagination. We can't think about erotic situations. My muscles glaring. I'm flying through the air, and I mean, come on.
I know, but some of you get a little shifty. It'll be like, well, it's starting a little too girly, and I'm like, what is too girly? I'm breaking down, you know, these two couples, and allowing you to put yourself in their shoes, to imagine yourself with your own girl or your own guy or whatever, and you know,
well,
it's too girly.
I'm not in the shoes, and I'm there. That's different story.
I'll be conducting the rest of this interview. Thank you very much. So what
hater.
I know it's going to sound kind of strange, but is your series something that, for example, like a teenager could go to their school library or the public library and get, or is it more geared towards college and older crowd?
College and older crowd. The Behind the Book series, that one is really, I picked my younger guardians and their college age. So if you're a college age kid, I say 18 on up, you can read it. Really, really, honestly, if you were like me growing up as a kid, you can read it. As a kid, if you're 13 and up, you can read it as a kid.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, this stuff they got on TV,
honestly,
now?
Honestly. But for the parents out there, parental advisory, yes, you let your kid, if you really do check
so
in your kid, check what they read, 18 on up.
Right.
So you do get pretty graphic when you're describing. You get pretty descriptive when you're describing certain scenes or, you know.
Yes. But
playing
out
a scene.
It's not a lot in there. It's not a lot. Like Scene Eaters 1, you don't even get to that kind of scene until towards the end of the book. So if you're a parent and you want them to go ahead and read a book, I say go ahead and just tell them to skip that chapter. Take it out if you want to, whatever. But it's really not that. I don't go that deep because I'm not an erotic writer.
All right, so tell me about Pleasure Principle. You know, when I heard that, I was like, man,
automatically you thought of Janet Jackson. We know.
No, I did. Thank you.
Well, that's the working title right now. It's I think I changed it to The Principles of Pleasure. So that's me stepping out of my box, seeing if I can grab another demographic of readers, which is my female base, and show them that
I'm trying to give Janae a run for the money.
I thought you when you said that, I was like, yeah, I'm going for the porn audience.
It did start off as a erotica, but then it turned to something different. Somehow, every time I write, when I write, it turns into something totally different than what it originally was meant to be. So
it
that's what happens.
You high every time you write.
Do I do what?
You said you was high every time you write.
Yeah, I said I was high every time. No.
All right. My bad.
No. But that is it's a contemporary romance, but it's heavy on the erotica. Yes, that's me trying something new.
Heavy, I mean, erotica. So you want to tell people what erotica is?
Well, with me,
it's
different.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it don't take rocket science to figure that one out there, Smooth, but okay.
I'm just saying, because, you know, it's
but
all
I can
like,
tell you, I can tell you,
like,
I can tell
I
you a little
bit. I think you just
small.
Want her to tell you.
Well, no, see, because she said, okay, in Sin Eaters 1, they didn't get, I mean, they did some erotica in Sin Eaters 1, right?
No. They just
no, so, you only, that, so you're only buying the book for that aspect.
Oh, passionate lovemaking, that's not erotica.
I call erotica something even more intense than that.
Oh.
And it's not porn. It's not porn, but it's a little bit more intense than your regular, for me. This is for me.
This is for you.
Or your regular love making.
No. You're not writing it for me. You're writing it for you.
Would you just go ahead and bust his bubble? So
I'm just saying, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So, I mean, since the books are out, have you are you on a book tour with this, or how does that work?
I would love to be on a book tour. I did a signing in Atlanta, and I did one signing in my hometown of St. Louis, and that's about it. I can't get around as much because it's about, marketing and branding and whatnot and getting your money up. So once I get my money up, I would love to do a major book tour. Y'all do your standard. I just do your standard area signings, and that's about it.
Okay. Now
if I get to Atlanta around it.
Atlanta, yeah. Not that I'm hating on Atlanta, but Atlanta. I'm hating on Atlanta. Tell me about Pulse, which is you call it a steampunk. What is steampunk?
Okay, that's me going. Now you're going into the other side of me. This is my fantasy side. And it's easier for me to give it to people that's visual because I'm a visual person. If you ever saw Will Smith in Wild Wild West, that's steampunk. The whole movie is steampunk, the world that they're in. So
that was just a whack movie.
I know, but I'm just saying. Okay, let me do it. How about Sherlock Holmes? The genre, how they did all of that would be considered steampunk.
All right. A period piece? That's what you would call steampunk?
It's a period piece. Mine's is set in a fantasy world. It's a period piece genre in a fantasy world where you would get a little bit of magic or you get a little enhanced gears that, with current technology, but twisted into the time of that, period.
Got you. Okay. And so when is Pulse set for?
I'm close to finishing that, so I don't know yet, but I'm close to finishing it. I just finished a short for it, though. So. And hopefully, if it gets chosen, it'll be an anthology, and that anthology should be out next year.
Okay, because me and Mr. J, we trying to get a little swag and want to hang out,
just a little bit,
say Kai, that's my girl. See, we be hanging out and we do book tours and comic book conventions.
Yeah.
That other stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
have y'all dress up as my characters? Cosplay a little bit?
Exactly.
Hey, see,
I'm supposed to be the hater, but see, you said cosplay.
No, sir, wait a minute. I'm not hating. I'm just, she threw that in there like she going to slip it in there like I didn't hear it. I heard her. I was just going to say there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not into costume play, but there's people out there that are. That's all I was going to say. But before I even get to that, I just wanted her to give a shout out to her, you know, her website where people can find the book, or, you know, where they can find more information about her books. That's all. You can go ahead and give that out.
Well, you can find me on Facebook at Kylie's Books, and, you know, www.facebook.com/KylieBooks. You can also find me at my website, which is long, so bear with me, kwhp5f.wix.com/KylieBooks. It's just easier to just go to Facebook, because that's just super long.
Are the books available, like, on Amazon or eBay? Well, not eBay, but Amazon?
The books 1 and 2 are available everywhere, Amazon, Walmart, Target, Kindle, Nook, Barnes & Noble, all of that, Google Play is everywhere. The short, Rebel Guardians, is available on Kindle, ebook reader, for right now. It's going to be on Nook again soon. But you also can go to Barnes & Noble and everywhere and look for Rebel Guardians for paperback as well.
Okay. Well, I mean, we definitely want to thank you for coming on and, of course, opening up our arms to you and saying anytime you got something coming out, feel free to come back. We'd love to have you come back and share some of your pleasure principles with us.
I mean, actually, the next time, you know, you're able, the next time you are able to come back on, if it's possible, maybe you could, you know, do like a quick, like, reading of some, like an excerpt of some of it, of your writing, if possible.
I'd like to hear you guys read the book as well and tell me how you guys thought about it, you know, multicultural world, vampires, black leaves.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm not a big, big reader, but I do try to, you know, put a book in maybe once or twice a month.
I'm the reader of the two of us, and I'll go into my DJ Squirrel voice, and then I will read for you.
You want to read The Pleasure Principle, that's what you
want. I do. I'm angling for it. I can do it. I get real low.
He wants to be.
Look,
that's all.
The owl book. No. Yeah.
See, he wants to hear you do the reading so he can take off his shirt and rub his nipples.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, I said it. Anyway, once again, before you go, tell the people one more time where they can find your books.
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target. Contact Urban Books and tell them you want more. You want more from Kyle Leakes. And I'm everywhere, Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, give those that Facebook and Twitter, you know, give that information out too, because people, you know, if they contact us, you know, they can actually contact you as well, you know.
I'm on Twitter at Kyle Leakes. I'm on Facebook again at Kyle Leakes. You can easily type in my name and find me, and Google me, and all my information will pop up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's Kai, spelled K-A-I, correct?
Yes, K-A-I Leakes. That's my pen name.
All right. You're not related to Nene Leakes, are you? No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
No. I know everybody asked me that, but no, not at all.
But she related.
I don't think so. I got to go to another family reunion and I'll find out, but no.
All right. Well, we want to thank you for coming on the show, and definitely look forward to having you on again.
Thank you, guys. I had fun.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling, and definitely come back to see us soon.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Kai Leakes.
Oh, that was, you did it like that.
I did what?
That was.
You're talking about I'm going to take my shirt off and rub my nipples, man. Come on now. I do this show in the nude, so stop it.
I didn't want to put that out there. Ladies, that's your visual. I'm not even trying to. And no, I don't know you doing it in the nude.
That's right. You on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, ladies, we are not looking at each other on the webcam. So you know, it's not going down like that. Anyway.
What you got to play, man? Play some music.
We need a break, and once again, late, great B.B. King. This is a Sweet Little Angel.
Some people that are,
really?
Can I, please?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead, get it in.
Just a, they're inboxing me. I got a friend out there and representing Wild Yonkers, New York. Tamara, hey, what's up? Thank you for listening. We got Mimi. We got my friend Fluffy down in Philly. She's going through some serious stuff right now. That's her brother. I hope everything's okay with your brother down there in Philly. My friend Tion down in Georgia. Everything's going to be cool. You know, just keep your head up. And my boy Billy out in St. Louis got some real bad news that his brother and brother-in-law, I mean his brother and his sister-in-law were shot. Well, I don't want to, you know, just a bad situation. It was strong arm robbery, and you know, she's in a critical condition, but you know, they said she's going to pull through, you know.
Yeah,
and they released him from the hospital. But anyway, I just wanted to give a shout out. My prayers are with everybody. Yeah, going through something.
So now do I
show and continue doing that?
So do I go into all my shout outs now? This how we gonna conduct it? You just gonna give a shout out?
You got like 10,000. Got like maybe. Got like maybe 4 or 5 inboxes every show to your 600, and you know,
Look,
I apologize for not being on the show years ago, but now I'm here now. I just want to acknowledge the people that, you know, that support us. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, shout out to the people that support us.
Wait until we go live, like real live. You just wait.
We already real live.
You know what I mean. You know when we answering the sponsors and stuff like that.
I'm not answering to nobody.
Well, you know what I mean. When we, you know.
Answer to us.
Wait until we get on Sears. Wait, you just wait.
Sears. My ass. But that's...
Yeah, okay. They start knocking on the door for a check. You're going to be like, okay.
Well, I just want some. I just want some free underwear. I didn't.
Okay, see. Yeah. All right, let's go into the next. What's next? See, I ain't messing with you today. Now you're talking about free underwear.
What?
Before you wanted to be part of a book, you know, you wanted to be part of somebody's novel.
I always want to be part of somebody's novel, man. I'm a comic book artist myself, so you
dressing up for Coscom, you know. Yeah. What's going on with cosplay? What's going on with you over there, man?
Hey, look, man. You ain't done nothing until you done put on the cape and made it happen.
I can put on the cape now. Trust me. I'll put on the cape.
Hold on. You was hating on cosplay that whole time. So until you done...
I know. See, I wasn't hating on it. When she mentioned it, you just kind of threw me... You know, she just kind of... Like, when she said it, she like threw it in there like she didn't really want us to talk about it. No. So then that's when I had to bring her back.
No. That is.
I don't hate on it. It's just not for me.
I can't do it. I can't. Look, one dimensional MC. It's okay, man.
Oh, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm putting you. Yeah, you know, you put your cape on, put on your skin tight suit.
Okay, hold up. Before you go into what we're about to talk about, you was that kid that was like 9, 10, 11 years old, right? 11, 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Walking around the house in your blue pajamas with the matching, you know, the blue long leg pajamas, and you went and got your mom's blanket and you tied it around your neck when you couldn't go outside on Sunday, and you was walking around talking about you super somebody, weren't you? You was that kid, weren't you?
Well, first and foremost, no. But I will say this on the air right here, right now. I got two capes. One with my initials on it, and the other one says I'm a superhero. So, yeah, that's how I go.
We can go back and forth all night. I'm going to leave it alone because this show will get X-rated.
And for the record, I can wear a skin-tight suit because I got a little, you know, I ain't bragging, but little muscle definition. I could wear the suit. I ain't gonna be that guy that got that like, that little thing hanging out on the side. You're like, that's not a superhero. I'm just saying.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that I can wear the skin tight suit and it wouldn't look weird. That's the last of my hubris. I'm done. That's it. I got nothing else on it.
347-826-7435 Please, somebody call. I want to talk to somebody else now, please.
I wear my cape well. Don't hate. Anyway. Now, we had a question. So, from Ms. Sanchez here. Why men don't know good women when they have them?
Same reason why women don't know good men when they have them. Don't put it out there like that. You know, see, now she didn't start at something. But go ahead, you can respond.
Oh, I just said it. And you don't want to respond?
No, okay. You know what? Because I want some emails to come at me. I want somebody to inbox me on this one. She's asking, why don't men recognize a good woman when they have them? You're generalizing, but maybe the question should be, why didn't the man that you're talking about recognize you when he had you? And if that's what you really are asking me, maybe you were only bringing the representative that you wanted him to see.
Speak on that representative that you only wanted him to see. Because I think that representative represents, what, 20-30% of the whole person? You want to expound on that, my brother?
Well, my brother, it's like this. You know, when you meet somebody, you're always putting your best foot forward. First impression is a lasting impression. So if when two people meet, if that person you bring forward is the person you want them to see, then guess what? The rest of the time you're with that person, you have to continue to be that person. You have to be that person, because if you change up in any way, they're not going to recognize you anymore. They're going to automatically think, oh, no, you're somebody different. You're not the person I met 2 weeks ago. Think about it.
What if it was 3 weeks?
Well, come on now. You know what I'm saying. I mean, not to get on, you know, the young lady who just sent you the question, but it kills me how, and I'll say this for men too, but it kills me how when people ask that type of question, they generalize, like they paint the brush, they paint with a broad, you know, stroke, like they just put everybody in that category, you know, and you can't do that. I mean, I would never say, well, how come, you know, blah, 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 you know, this, you know, how come, you know, she's not the same person, you know, how come she's not the same person she was when I first met her? Yeah, I mean, I should be asking that question instead of saying, how come when you meet a woman, blah, 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 she's this way one day and then she's this way the next day? You can't do that.
Okay. That works. I'm glad you expounded on that, man.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm like all over the place, but bottom line is this.
Oh, you're right there.
You know what I'm saying? And I know, I like how you let me answer the question, because I already I already know where you would go with it.
Hold on. First and foremost, because I'll say that I'm just going no representative, because I'm already weird enough if I have to add a representative to what I already got. See, because then when you see the cake, you're like, yeah, he
goes with the cake.
The cape is where it's at. I'm just saying. See, if you know I got the cape early on, you're like, all right, then he's cool. Everything else is all right. You expect anything.
And while we're on the subject, I mean, not giving shout-outs, but
oh man,
no, just. Someone just inboxed me. I got two different responses. One from this friend.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You know, Fluffy just hit me up and she says, you know, she thinks that when you feel someone doesn't appreciate a good man or woman, the question is, why do you accept that? Which is a valid point. Why do you accept it?
Well, you don't have to accept it. You don't have to accept anything. Everything is a choice. So, I mean, we can choose to accept, or we can choose to reject.
So do you agree with another statement being that good men and women are always overlooked?
No, I'll say this. I mean, because different people are in different places in their life. All right. So you can meet somebody in a bad place. It doesn't mean that they're a bad person. They could be just in a bad place in their life. So that shouldn't take away from them.
Right. But I agree with what you're saying. But then it goes back again to the original, you know, the original statement. I mean, the way the statement or the question was, you know, was posed was like, you know, why didn't he appreciate, you know, why didn't he appreciate me, you know, when he had me?
Well, I mean, we know that there are some relationships, they can last, some just don't. It doesn't mean that the people are bad. It doesn't mean that they're good. It just, them two didn't work.
Man, I wish you would bring my brother Smooth back. I don't know who you are right now, but that is not exactly what I was expecting. But okay.
But what was
Let me just say this.
What were you expecting?
Let me just get this out of my chest first. People will only do what you allow them to do. Do we agree on that? The knuckleheads that didn't appreciate you, you know, or appreciate that, you know, think about it. You can know a person can only get away with what you allow them to get away with.
True.
You know, so if you allow that person to get away with whatever, then, you know, you can't really blame. You can't put any more blame on them than the blame that you're not accepting yourself.
So what are you trying to say?
I'm just saying, you know. Okay, and this is not even really answering the question. We got to stop expecting other people to be the perfect person we want them to be, you know, because we all have flaws. And you can't go into any relationship expecting that person to be everything you want them to be, and then when they don't live up to it, you want to blame them for what they, you know, what you were expecting.
All right. You know what?
What?
I'm starting to get depressed talking about this.
I'm feeling pretty good. This is therapy for me, man. All right.
I'm glad that you got that therapy in. But I'm thinking that we just gonna move on. But thank you, Miss Sanchez, for the email, and everybody else. If you want to email us your questions, comments, concern, it is smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
Or call in. You know, if you got the cojones to call in 347-826-7435. Call in.
You got the cojones, Holmes. Oh, anyway.
Sex education.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'm not, it's just, see, we talked about sex education, with gay being taught, transsexuals being taught, not just heterosexual, if it's all in there, would you want your kids to be involved in that?
If you're asking me, would I allow the state or whatever to teach my children about sex as far as like what's going on now where you got, what is it called, transgender and homosexuality and all that? Honestly, unless I take my child out of that school and put him like in a private or a Catholic school, you really don't have any choice. The only option that you really have is like, okay, when they're teaching this particular part of the subject, I want my child to go into the study hall. You know, that's not going to happen.
But yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
You can, right. I mean, you can opt out. I mean,
right.
Because I think parents should be the ones explaining.
Right, but then, you know, nowadays, my personal opinion, well, I don't even say nowadays, even back, you know, when, you know, we were in like high school or junior high school, whatever, I knew I had friends who, you know, whose parents, they, in my opinion, they weren't even equipped to answer those, you know, just by the way that they acted or handled their business. It was like, you know, well, you would look at them like, damn, y'all had kids, you know, so.
Well, yeah, see, but I remember sex ed, they just broke out.
a pregnant woman and she's having a baby with the baby with the biggest head that I ever seen on earth, and I'm like, like I didn't learn anything from that except that baby had a big ass head.
Why? Okay. I mean, to, you know, not to digress, but why do you feel as though it's something that should be taught at home? Because what if you have, what if you don't agree with sex ed or a certain type of sex education being taught in school, but then for that child, you know, when they're home with their parents, let's say they have, like, you know, let's say they have two female parents or two male parents, or let's just say the father or the mother in their of their parents, like, you know, between their two parents, what of them change sex, you know, sexes?
Right. That's still parents. You talk to your kids about that. I mean, sex, religion, I mean, that type stuff, that's a private issue.
So then, even with just the basics, learning about the social the sexual diseases, you don't think that the child should even be able to be taught that in school? I'm not talking about the sexuality. I'm talking about the basics.
I mean, you can learn about sexually transmitted diseases, whatnot, but as far as the sex, I mean, why you date, all that other stuff, I mean, I think that should come from parents. Now,
what if the parents are, okay, let's say the parent, you know, they're getting it from the parents, but the parents don't have all the answers or all the correct answers themselves.
Man, look, everybody got Google.
Well, okay, yeah, but it's easy to go on Google nowadays, but, I mean, come on now. The Internet's only been around for, like, literally 20, 25 years at the most.
Okay.
If you take the Internet away, you know,
But that's this whole generation. And plus, at the end of the day, folks just got to be able to talk to your kids. I mean, it's like folks are, like, they can't talk
to kids. You have kids? You have kids?
Yeah, man.
Okay. Now, I mean, I'm not questioning your parenting. When it came that time to talk to your child or children, how did you handle it? Knowing that they were in school and won't get, you know, information from school, how did you handle it?
Oh, well, see, my son will tell you in a heartbeat, yeah, we talk about it all the time. He probably got tired of talking about it. Like, oh, shit, here we go. Sex talk.
Okay.
Because, I mean, to me, it was just a part of normal conversations. That stuff happens.
What if you live in a household where that stuff is just not discussed?
Well, I mean, but that's the problem. I mean, when you're talking about your family, all this stuff should be, because kids going to learn what you teach them. So if they don't know.
Right, but not every family is constructed in such a way where they're open about certain conversations or certain subjects.
Right.
I'm not saying that you're right or wrong. I'm just saying that we also have to keep in mind that not every family is going to be that open about certain things.
Right. But
certain things to this day are still taboo.
Right. But see, that's the problem. And when you talk about you want to have a government involved, anyway, I think we have a caller.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Hello, how are you guys?
We're doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. This is this is Seriously S in the chat room.
Seriously S. Atlanta.
Well, you can call me. Of course, but you can call me Nikki. But I just wanted to speak on the whole sex education thing.
About you. Well, go ahead.
Oh, here we go. Let her answer the
Ask the question.
This whole sexual education thing in the classroom, I guess, like, in this day and age, I don't agree with it so much because now every time you look around, there's a teacher having sex with the student. So I don't want a part of sexual education to be, let me take you in the broom closet and show you how it's done, you know, because it's just teachers are not what they used to be back in the day. I'm only 31, but back in the day, my teachers, they used to be like elder women and men, and I just don't remember so many tales of teachers screwing students as I do now. So I think for me, I don't want a teacher today to teach explicit sexual education to my child. Now, as far as telling them about diseases and STDs and where babies come from, then that's fine.
Are you still?
And I get it, and I agree with what you're saying. I mean, but I will disagree with the teachers nowadays and the sex, because I think it happened all the time, but it just didn't get reported because we didn't have.
This is nothing new.
There was no internet like 30 years ago. We know they was getting it in. I had a basketball coach that was getting it in with quite a few freshmen and sophomores, but no internet to report his punk ass. Anyway.
I mean, you didn't need the internet to report. You could have reported it to the police yourself.
Yeah,
it's just like this day and age is more rampant.
Well, I would tend to disagree. I don't think that it's more rampant. It's just more reported now. And that we have access to the internet and we can see all over the world more than we could before.
Well, the professional approach to this, or the professional aspect, is that, you know, you're supposed to teach it, when you teach it, sex ed, is to educate and prevent the spread of HIV. That's the professional approach. That's what the teachers should be doing, you know. Now, what this conversation is also, I guess, dabbling or, like, teetering on the edge of, is something that really, like, when you're talking about, like, teaching homosexuals and transgendered, that's where all the issue is, because you have a certain faction who feels as though it crosses those religious beliefs, is what I'm trying to say. And you have those who just truly are staunch in that, you know, there's a separation between church and state. You know, that's when you start getting into all these legalities. You understand what I'm saying? Now, yeah, we only have like this small talk show, and we're talking real light about it. But the reality is that if this were to ever go, like if this were to be something that was made into law, well, you know, it would be a fight. It would be a serious fight, because now as society changes and a lot of these kids are starting to come out of the closet about being gay or transgendered, there's going to be certain laws and certain things that have to change to accommodate, you know, a new generation. Think about it.
Well, even though they're gay or even though they're transgendered or bisexual or whatever they're identifying as, they still need to learn how to protect themselves from diseases like HIV.
You're right.
So, I mean,
you're right. But if you have one side of the table saying that they don't want that taught in school, and then you have the other side saying that they don't think it should be taught at home, you're at an impasse. So where is it supposed to be taught?
I mean, of course you're supposed to teach your children things at home. That's just like saying you don't want them taught home training at home. So you don't want the school to teach them about sex.
Right, but think about it in these terms. You have parents now, young parents, not even, you know, just parents in general. You have parents now that don't take the time, have the time, or try to make the time to do certain things that you would think that are supposed to be done at home. A lot of that's left up to the school to do. And then you have the teachers, on the other hand, that if it's something that's supposed to be done in the school, they have to figure out how they can implement that into their weekly planners to do it,
right.
You know.
And teachers, it shouldn't fall to the teachers. It's one of those things, one of those issues that, quite frankly, it's a parental, it should be more skewed toward the parents than the teachers. Teachers are there for academics, your social elements somewhat, but that's parenting. I want to thank you seriously, S, for calling in. Even though you're a Falcons fan, you're all right, and you're welcome to come into the chat room.
I'm going to always be a Falcons fan. I'm from Mississippi, so we didn't have a football team. So when we moved to Georgia, it was the first football team I had to cheer for other than a college team like Ole Miss or something. So I'm going to always be a Falcons fan.
Anyway, Mississippi is close to New Orleans. But thank you for coming.
Oh, screw the Saints. They suck. Yeah. Bye.
Saints. Bye.
See, what else is going on? What else you got on the board?
Hating on Atlanta Falcons. I'm like, we got 10 minutes left. I can just spend all this time hating.
No, we ain't going to do that.
All right.
We ain't going to do that. You're going to chase people away now.
Okay. Well, now, you know, speaking of the sex education, now you know they have that what they call it, gay conversion therapy, right? Now, gay conversion therapy is a Christian thing where they're teaching them how not to be gay.
Okay.
It's kind of funny because I don't know how you do that, but it's hilarious. I'm saying if you want to teach them how not to be gay, maybe you want to just ban Hollywood.
Well, I mean, there were gay kids before Hollywood even came along.
I'm being facetious here. I'm just saying.
Let me just say this, because you touched on that. That way of saying that train of thought. That train of thought. You know, where they have these programs where they try to deprogram a child from being a certain way. They're basically funded and all that by Christian groups and all that. That type of stuff is only going to work in situations where those children are going to schools where they, you know, where they can make those decisions. If it's a public school, 9 times out of 10, it's not going to work because it's going to get political.
Okay.
Anyway, that's, you know, now you're taking me down for my little buzz, my little high. So let's just change the subject on that. Anyway, folks.
I wanted to make this statement because I when I talked about that, it was going into Jaden Smith in the dress. It was like that Boondocks episode a few years back, the Homies Over Hoes, where all the guys was dressing up in dresses with the backs out. And now it's come.
Well, I mean, that's a whole another, the whole Jaden Smith, the whole Smith family thing, situation. It's like, I could care less now because, you know, that put it this way. That's what happens when you take your kids out of school. You let them become homeschooled, and then your father is part of Scientology. That's what happens. The weirdness of Hollywood.
So you gonna blame the religion?
I'm gonna blame it to a certain extent. Yeah, when you go and all let the children be free spirits and all that. Yeah, I'm gonna blame a little bit on it. I'm not saying that they're bad parents, but how do you have one child, you know, the boy, who sends these mixed signals of wanting to dress like a girl every once in a while? Then you have the daughter, who kind of is starting to morph over into being a boy.
They can just have surgery and just, like, switch parts.
Why don't they just do that? I mean, but then you got the older brother, you know, the one from his first marriage or whatever. Right. He's like...
Yeah, we kind of lost you there.
Heard, well, which is a smart thing. You know, you don't hear about, like, Will or David saying anything out in public. You know, they don't address the situation. So
right.
I guess they're like, you know, let the kids live. So, you know what? Okay.
Yeah, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about those biker gangs in Waco.
Man, that's what we should have went into earlier, but I'll just say this much. The press, the media is real funny.
And not funny.
No, but hear me out, because I had the same discussion yesterday and earlier today. When everything was going down in Baltimore, you had like almost every news organization that you could think of in Baltimore report. Let me get it out. Reporting every which way, you know, every which way, you know, trying to spin it, trying to make it look like something that it's not. This situation in Waco, you barely heard a peep about it. It's not even like in the news cycle, you know, the rehash news cycle as much as what was going on in Baltimore.
Because this is some serious gang banging.
Exactly.
They was out there shooting.
Yeah, and 9 people died. They posted pictures of most of the people that are arrested. All those pictures that I've seen, it was one black guy. One black guy. And some of them were like Hispanic or Mexican or whatever. But the majority of those dudes out there that were, you know, fighting was white boys. But the way the press made it seem is like, okay, yeah, I'm not saying that it was a good thing, but I'm just saying you had 9 people killed, and more than likely it was gunfire between the motorcycle gangs that we know. We don't know if these cops were shooting at them.
Well, I mean,
but they're not.
They put out that the bikers were supposed to shoot at the cops. I'm like, well, yeah.
But see, here's the thing. Then you got all these mixed stories about the. You know, I've heard stories like the cops didn't show up until damn near. Like when it was almost over.
Right, because they were smart. Because they know if they show up when other white people are shooting, they'll get shot too.
Exactly. But the press is not.
It's not even a press thing. It's a sad thing. This is gonna come out bad, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Because they know that if you show up when black folks are shooting at each other, as soon as they see the cops, they're not going to shoot at the cops, 9 times out of 10. But if you show up the white people, they're going to shoot 9 times out of 10.
Because they,
they have no problem.
I would hope that it never happens, like, for anybody. But the way I'm looking at it, and I'm not blaming the press, but it's like once it becomes a media-worthy story.
Why can't you blame the press?
Well, because the press didn't tell these fools to go out there and shoot each other.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
But see, you can frame it. It's like we talk about it, and it's like you can talk about the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of people out there shooting each other. It was
exactly. Wild.
It was crazy. We talking about over 180. They say 180, which means it's probably like 300, 400, 500.
100, exactly. See, my point is they know that them gangs be out there. Like, if they weren't in Waco, then they'd probably be up there in what, South Dakota at Sturgis or whatever.
But
my point is this.
This ain't the first time in Waco.
Right. We can go back to the Branch Davidians. I mean, I remember that, too. But, I mean, I just want to get, because we don't have much time. My point is this. The media got a hold of the whole situation. And I'm just mad at the fact that with that whole thing going on in Baltimore, the news media was out there 24/7 for a whole week and a couple of days extra. You ain't heard shit about this, you know, on CNN, NBC, you know, any of CNN, MSNBC, Fox, any of them. They don't even talk about it that much anymore.
Well, it's not a story. It was just a bunch of white people shooting at each other.
Yeah, but my point is the minute that we gather, whether it's anything, you might have 60,000, you know, news sources reporting, oh, my God, a bunch of blacks got together and they walked. Mark, but it's news.
Well, hey.
You know, they'll try to spin on it, but ain't nobody trying to spin on this. Why not?
Hey, I was there for the Million Man March, and it was way more than a million. But
oh, yeah, I was there, too. Yes.
I digress. But, yeah, definitely. It's definitely a media creation or lack of creation, because they try to shape the news, but that's the reason why we have this show in the first place, because we feel like we should have a voice and we should be able to talk about these things from a normal person's point of view, not a media with the stick in your butt and you're a puppet.
The puppet masters.
Got no strings to hold me back.
347-826-7435. 347-826-7435. Smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
Yes. It might be a tad bit too late for that. But I do want to say,
not for next week.
Yeah, not for next week. But I do want to say, first, shout out to the new homie, Kai Leaks. You know, hope to have you come back. It's been a pleasure having you here on the show and also in the chat room. Adding your presence is been great. And seriously, S, feel free to come back, even though you are Atlanta. And all my other listeners out there in the chat room and the callers who call and email, we greatly appreciate you. And for
don't forget those pictures.
Yeah, please don't forget his thong shots. For Mr. J, I'm Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drama presentation. We out.
See ya.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her head.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Smooth.
Drama.